This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
All right, well, we are back. Baseball Outside the Box from Cuba. We're with Zach Speaker, Connor Hogan, Jim Hall. Both Coach Hall and the players are with Caliendo Sports International's Team America competing in Havana, Cuba. And we're going to, before we come back with our speakers, let me talk to the listeners just for a second. We know that you always go out and get on Amazon. You buy a bunch of stuff on Amazon because Amazon's one of the top, you know, companies in the world. So do us a favor. Go to the Amazon banner on our website and click on Amazon. You know, you can purchase my Youth Baseball Drills book there, and you'll help us because it just gives us credit. You're not going to pay any more. It gives us the show credit, so we'd really love you to do that. And if you're also interested, I have a seven-set DVD series that covers over 100 drills, skills, and games for coaches. You can get that on our website. You can get that at baseballoutsidethebox.com. Go to our website or email me. And also, don't forget to go Twitter at baseballout. A lot of good information on Twitter. We tweet all the time, all kinds of baseball information for coaches, players, and parents. That will give you a tremendous insight in the game. So again, here we are. We're back to Baseball Outside the Box with our guests. We're going to continue, but now with the second half, we're going to get into a couple things. We're going to get in with our players, what they look for coaches, what they like about coaches, what they dislike about coaches, whether it be at the younger levels. Don't worry, there won't be any coaches' names mentioned in the show. I know sometimes we want to mention them, but we're not going to mention them. And then we're going to get with Coach Hall to talk to us about what it takes at the high school, at the college, at any level, what it takes to get the most out of your player throughout the season. Because it's easier to get the most out of your players in a one-week period. But how do you do that when it comes to a full season of baseball? So let's start with our guys, Zach and Connor. Let's talk about a little bit about what, as players, even when you were younger, what did you like the most about your coaches that made you want to play the game longer and made you a better player?
Yeah, one thing that made me love the game as much as I do and kept me playing to the level that I am now is the coach's enthusiasm toward the game and them showing their love towards the game. You know, it could be really detrimental to some players when coaches just go out there, you know, to have their son playing or for reasons that really don't matter. But when you get a coach that really truly does love the game and wants to advance his players in every way possible, you know, by their attitude, their abilities, you know, that's what really drives players to be better. So that was one thing that really made me love the game is seeing some of my coaches' enthusiasm.
So you like playing for guys that were excited about being on the field.
Oh yeah, there's nothing better. Nothing makes you more excited when you see your coach going out for a big game. He's ready to go. That makes you ready to go. It really just sets the level and sets the tone for the games.
All right, well, as a player, and Zach, you're going to get into this too. As a player, did you like coaches? I mean, you know, some guys can be real tough. Did you like the tough coach? Why did you like the tough coach? If you did like it, you know, give us a perspective of – let's start with Zach on this one. Give us perspective of what you first liked about your coaches, if they didn't have the skill, what were you looking for in that coach to help you more?
Like Connor said, the enthusiasm was huge. I mean, if you can come out to practice every day, I mean, baseball is not a one-day sport. I mean, you got to practice every day, all year round. I mean, even when you're not playing baseball, you have to have a coach that can, like, mentally teach you the mental side. I mean, that's a big thing for me. For a while, I mean, I was in my head, and I had to have somebody, I could call Coach Hall up whenever I wanted, and he could talk about the mental side of the game. Like, we weren't face-to-face. We weren't working on a swing. My swing was fine. Fielding was fine. I mean, I need a coach that can come sit down with me or go in his office or something, and we can just sit there and talk about baseball. Talk about if you're in this count, what are you thinking? Not what are you going to do with the ball there? What are you thinking about? Like, you walking up to the plate, are you grabbing the barrel, knowing you're going to hit the ball on that sweet spot? I mean, I've learned that from Coach Hall for a long time. But that's a huge thing for me, is being able to clear my mind and not think about, oh, well, if there's a guy on first, I have to do this. Just clear your head and hit. That's a huge thing for me, is the mental side of the game. Coach, I can teach the mental side of the game, not just the physical side.
Okay, now, but look, let's look back. Let's look back when you were 12. You know, okay, enthusiasm's one thing, but when you were 12, what did you want out of your coaches? And sometimes, what did you not get out of your coaches when you were younger that you wish you would have had? Let's still go with Connor on this one.
You know, that's tough, because as a 12-year-old baseball player, you know, you're kind of bored, or a lot of players at that point, you know, they don't really know where their career in baseball is going to go. So a lot of those guys at the time, it's really important for them to enjoy the game. But at the same time, it's really important for those coaches to have discipline. You know, you can't just have players running around crazy, you know, letting them do whatever they want. If they really do want to advance as baseball players and still have fun, they'll have a coach that will be able to be disciplined with them at the same time while still allowing them to enjoy themselves playing the game.
And Zach, I mean, you know, you enjoyed, I mean, that's a great thing, because a lot of times, you know, younger coaches really don't know how to discipline players. How much did you want at the college level, at the higher level now? How important is discipline there?
I mean, discipline is definitely huge in college because there's so many distractions. I mean, we don't have to go into everything, but there's a ton of distractions. And being able to discipline players, whether it's a workout or just telling them the rules before, not making rules as you go, not seeing one guy screw up and telling him, well, then it's a punishment for everybody, just knowing what the rules are before and making sure that you follow those rules, not being lenient or whatever towards some players and other players. You have to be strict rules for everybody. I think that's a huge thing.
Okay, and let's get to Coach Hall now. Now, Coach, you got a team, and, you know, you've been doing this over, I don't know, 40, 50 years, and you've won a lot, but you didn't do that by yourself, and you got a great coaching staff here. Tell us a little about our coaching staff here, who they are, what they do specifically, and how much leeway do you give your coaches to be able to handle those areas, and how much do you step back?
I think, first of all, when I talked to Chris Hogan about Connor playing, and I said, he goes, I'd like to go. I go, we want to coach. And he said, yeah. And I said, you want to take the infielders. So he is in charge of the infield completely, okay? He can tell me, wants to move a guy, whatever he wants to do. But Chris has been around for a number of years coaching, and I'm really impressed with the job he's done with our guys, because he's learned the game, he's studied the game, he's coached guys in college, and, you know, Connor's had the benefit of working with his dad, and he did that because of Connor, but he also did it to help a lot of kids. John Guzzo is a kid who pitched at Lewis, and John just called me and said, Coach Hall, you going to Cuba? Can I come with you? And I'm like, sure. And then a week later called me, could I be coached with that? I said, sure. And I go, John, you're in charge of pitchers. So he's in charge of when he goes. He came in the other day in relief and picked us up really big. But he's been in charge of the pitchers. I think our catchers are really happy with the job and his knowledge. He wants to be a college coach. And then we got Ryan Clavena, who just graduated, and he's coming too. And he took over the outfielders, you know. And he's worked on it. He watched Illinois this year. He watched what they did. He does our stretch with our guys. But, you know, and he came in the game. Just as a coach, I hit, he doubles, and he's hitting 1,000 for our team right now. So it's great for him. But I'll tell you what, coaching is all these guys have free reign. We're coaching together, you know. Head coach is just a title. We're coaching together, and I just love being with these guys and what the job they've done. I'm so, so impressed with that, Pete.
Well, you know, let's get to this, because I'm just going to give you my opinion. You know, I want to hear yours on this, because, you know, nowadays the game's changed a little bit. What I'm impressed by these guys is that, one, they paid their own way, which shows me that they're aggressive. They want to learn more. They want to do more in baseball. Because nowadays, guys I get emails from are, hey, can I go with you internationally? And they just think that I'm just going to put them on. I don't even know who they are. And there's no commitment. There's nothing there. They just kind of, it's given to them. And we seem to be in that society too much. And that's why I was impressed with these guys, that they went out and wanted to do this. And they spent the money to do it. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of guys don't want to spend the money anymore. They just want somebody to give them something free.
Yeah, I think that's amazing, Pete. You know, players have that entitlement philosophy now in the United States, which I think is bad. And you know what? These coaches here have not given that to our players at all. It's like you go out there, you play hard, you work. Ryan was talking about our outfielders, about getting ready. Zach came in to me yesterday and said, Coach, got to do a little better job with the outfielders. Chris was talking to guys about holding runners. So, I mean, we're all working together, and we're coaching up as much as we can. And you know what? If guys wanna do that, you pay your dues. You pay your dues. You put your time in. Guys wanna, the younger guys today, Pete, they wanna go right in and go overseas. They wanna go here and there. And you know what? You know what? First of all, you gotta come to Cuba, which you set the trip up. You gotta respect the people, you gotta get the guys to play, coaches working together. It's everybody working together. It's a culmination of a lot of things. And I wanna take this moment, Pete, to thank you for what you've done for United States of America. It's unbelievable. People, I've said this before, no one I know in the game, particularly in the world, could do what he does for United States of America. It's unbelievable what you've done, Pete, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. And, Zach, all right, let's get back to the coaches. We're going to bounce back in a little bit because on a coaching standpoint, you know, a lot of times you got coaches, and I played for them, and I coached with coaches. Tell me about the type of person you like throughout the game. You like the guys that are up and down. You like the guys that are level. You know, why do you like certain type of guys? Because, you know, it's easy to win and everybody's up. It's easy to lose and everybody's down. You know, what kind of coach do you like to see throughout the whole game? So let's start with Zach.
I mean, I would like to see a guy that's up most of the game. I mean, even if we're down on the scoreboard, he's got to keep – if he's your leader of the team. He has to be able to get guys excited, get guys – like if you just strike out. If you just struck out for the third time that game, you're going to come up again sometime that game and maybe you hit the walk-off. I mean, he has to be able to get guys up in the dugout.
But how about now you just missed a cutoff three times or twice. You want that guy to be pumped up or do you want him to get on you a little bit?
Oh, definitely, for sure. He has to be able to find a happy medium there. You miss a cutoff, he's got to get on you because he can't do it again. If you miss a cutoff again, you could lose the game. I mean, it's a big thing. Like some of the coaches I've had, whether it's striking out three times or missing a cutoff, they've found a way to pick you up or to get on you in different ways. I mean, every player reacts differently to different situations. So some guys like to get – some don't not necessarily like to get yelled at, but they react differently to getting yelled at. Some guys aren't really like to get yelled at, but just like talking to them privately, they'll react differently. They'll get still doing the same goal, just different ways. I mean, I think that's huge, a coach being able to realize that this guy's not reacting well to getting yelled at, so I have to find a new way to get the point across. So I think that's huge.
Connor, got, you know, you're up the bat. You like coaches to talk to you before you hit?
I think it's good for coaches to talk to you before you hit, in certain situations, you know.
And I'll preface that with, you like them to talk to you about situations, not your mechanics?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely would prefer if a coach did not talk to me about mechanics unless he saw a major flaw in my swing. Definitely something, maybe to give you a hint, like keep your shoulder closed, stay extended through the ball. But for the most part, I would prefer if a coach did not necessarily talk to you strictly about mechanics, but more so about the situation that you're going to be hitting in.
Awesome. And, you know, you make an out, you know, maybe two outs. As hitters, what do you do? You made two outs. Maybe there were weak ground balls. What do you do as a hitter, Zach? Anything?
I used to have, like, a big temper issue. I'll be honest. But coaches over the years have shown me how bad that looks and haven't been able to calm me down and to come in the dugout and evaluate my at-bat. So I'll come in the dugout, sit down, maybe get water or something, and then evaluate what just happened. I got an outside pitch, why did I roll it over? Why didn't I go with that pitch? I got a curveball, why was I in front of it? And try to adjust during the game. Baseball is a game of adjustments. You have to be able to adjust, so I think that's big time.
Coach Hall, I mean, you know, you have hitters, a lot of guys, all these years. What's the thing you don't like about hitters when they make an out? Is there anything particular that they do that after they make an out, they come in a dugout? Is there anything that you dislike that they shouldn't be doing maybe because mentally it's not good for them?
I just see the bad – if a guy strikes out or makes an out, bad body language. Or he pops up, doesn't run a ball out, you know. I think Zach said it to a guy the other day, hey, good 90 feet. He ran hard for 90 feet. And that's what Joe Maddon said with the Cubs. He goes, I'm going to hold everyone responsible for the first 90 feet, you know. Everybody's going to make an out, you know. And both these two players are guys – I've said very little to them. They understand their game. They understand their swings. They're going to be very critical. So, I mean, they're great leaders in how they play, how they go on the field, you know, their demeanor after an out, you know. And they both had made outs. I'd have to say word of them. They came back every time they had a not a good at bat, they came out with a good at bat. So they understand that aspect because they're mature. You can tell they played college baseball. They've been coached well by other guys, and they really have a confidence about themselves to be able to come back and make an adjustment.
And what do you do with hitters when I've seen this before? You know, guy makes an out and he comes in, he says, "Coach, what'd I do wrong?"
Well, I think that time, you know, the guy's looking for something, and rather than me tell him 10 things, I might say, you know what, you need to just stay back in the ball a little bit more. Because the more I fill his head, the more it's going to be difficult for him. I learned a long time ago, when a guy's going good, what he needs to do, and this is, I've heard this at a convention over and over, and he said, when you're going good, remember the things you're doing, not mechanically. I'm seeing the ball really well. I'm being patient. I talked to Brady West about this today. He said, I told my dad I was going to hit a home run for him because it was my birthday, and he tried to hit 3 home runs. And I talked to him and said, Brady, just relax, track the ball, put a swing on it, and he hit a home run. I mean, it's not rocket science, but sometimes we make it so hard because we press ourselves. I got to get a hit. I got to do something. No, you don't. All you got to do is get a good pitch and put a good swing on it.
You know, and you know, it's funny that if I came in the dugout to you and I said that same thing, I said, you know, what did I do wrong? I mean, as a hitter, I could have a pretty good swing and still make an out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You can have great. Both Connor and Zach have great swings. Zach's swings a little bit longer because he's bigger. He's a bigger guy. But they both have great knowledge of the strike zone. And I don't have to get in detail with them during the game because I think they understand it. The only thing I would do would be if one of them got down a little bit, I'd say, hey, you're fine, you're okay, you know. And what hitters do is they press. And it's not about the outcome, Pete. It's about the process, about seeing a ball, tracking the ball, and put a good swing. That's all. But, you know, hitting is the hardest thing to do in baseball, in sport, okay, as 2004. So, and these guys have been very, very successful doing that. And what's really been good for our team is the communication. Zach was talking the other day, Connor was talking to some of the younger guys about what the guy's ball was. He had a fastball, he dropped, his ball's running a little bit. That's great information. So we had a very, very good exchange of information from player to player.
You know, in all your 40, Coach Hall, in all your 40 plus years, here's the million-dollar question that I think every coach around the world asks all the time because it's probably the hardest thing in baseball to be able to do with players. You know, how do you get the most out of guys when you have, and I know there's going to be more than one answer. We'll get into the back and forth a little bit. But it's so hard to get the most out of guys in a season. On a trip like this, you got a week, maybe a little easier possibly. But when you're talking about a two-month season, three-month, you go into college baseball, you go to pro ball, you know, 9 months. You know, how do you continuously keep those guys up? But really, how do you get the most out of each individual so they play the best that they can also? Even though the responsibility is still theirs, I'm assuming the coach helps also.
Well, I think the players, first of all, have to believe in you. And I think Zach said earlier, the message has got to be consistent. Now, both these guys are guys that are certain ways, and I don't have to say a lot to them, where other guy might get on a little bit more. I think making sure that the rules for the team are consistent. If some guy doesn't hustle and I don't sit him down, that's on me. And I remember a slammer guy talking about his manager was going to change the rules at the beginning of the year. Can't do that. Oh, no, no, no. They got to start from the beginning. So the very first meeting we met at practice, I let him know, these are the rules, this is how we're going to be, okay, guys? Guys are not going to hustle, not going to play hard. You're going to be out. I'll sit you on the bench. I don't care, win or lose. I did that with a lot of kids over the years. And I think guys understand. We're in the Czech Republic, Pete, and I sat a kid twice, and he said it's the best thing I've ever done for him as a coach. And he said he really liked me as a coach because I taught him about that. So if one of these guys got mad or something, I'd say, well, not, sit down. And I think when players are frustrated, what you need to do as a coach is understand what button do I have to push to help that player relax or be a little bit better. And that's tough sometimes because I've only had these guys. We've been together for 5 days, Pete. So, you know, I love the challenge of doing this, you know. The hardest thing in a longer season is being consistent because if you're going to go for 3 or 4 months of playing guys got to know, you know, I think the Cubs like playing for Joe Madden because Joe Madden never sells them. It's not about we're winning and you're losing. It can't be that way. It's got to be. We lost this together, guys. We won this together. We're doing this. I think guys love to play for a guy like him. And I like players. I'm firmer players, but I think I'm fair. And I think a couple of kids understand now about how I'm coming at them and stuff. And I never let a kid go away feeling downer. I always talk to a guy. We had a kid struggle the other day in the mound, and I went over and said, hey, I'm just trying to help you a little bit mechanically. Go talk to Coach about some things we saw mechanically. So,
you know, and as you see coaches out there, you know, you got real nice, coaches are real nice people, obviously, and they're well-intended. Do you think sometimes that they kind of they let players get away with certain things because they're afraid to get on them? And, you know, what would you say to those coaches? How do I change as a coach? You know, if I'm, you know, my philosophy, not philosophy, but my attitude is that way, you know, I got to change, I'd assume, or it's going to get worse.
I think the biggest thing is these players, some of them know what has been expected of them. And Coach Hogan and I were talking about some of these kids have never been taught you got to play harder. They don't know what it's like. They don't. Some guys don't know what it's like to go in a weight room and have to do a 10 set of squats in a day because they've never done it before, you know. And I'm trying to get that across to them without them having me, you know, this guy doesn't like. No, it's not about like. It's about you understanding there's more in your tank. You got to play harder. You got to run on the field harder. You know, you can't give up in a bet, you know. And I think the kids are starting to understand it and learn. And I really got to give a lot of credit to our players because the older players have done a really good job of some of the younger players conveying to them, hey, don't get down. A couple guys pull them, one of the young guys aside, talking to them because that's what you want to do, Pete. You want to get better. And that's what you want to convey to your players. This guy, you know, I mean, let's take a David Ross for the Cubs. He's invaluable because he is such a great bench guy, and he's such a great guy in the clubhouse, and that's important. And these two guys have done a really good job as being leaders. And you know what? You can't be a leader if you don't work hard, you don't run on the field hard, you don't play hard. You can't be that. And our guys have seen them struggle, not making out, but making out with class. No one, you know, they didn't jog or, you know, they made it out. They came back to the bench. They went out, carried a glove, and they, you know, like a professional.
And you got 20 players on your high school season throughout the years, win a state title, 13 regionals, I mean, all kinds of accolades. With every player, what did you do every day with every player? Anything different? Like, I mean, because, you know, did you talk to each guy? What did you do on a daily basis as your philosophy to get guys up also? Because they're all individuals.
I learned from Gordy Gillespie a long time ago, you be the first one to speak to someone. So every time I see guys, I'll say, hey, Kevin, how you doing? And he wanted us to go out and, you know, this morning at breakfast, I went around, saw all the tables, talked to me. It's really important that you go hands-on. Another thing I learned a long time ago was fill somebody's bucket. Hey, nice job yesterday. You had a nice hit and stuff, you know. We had Ross Nation who struggled early, and he got a bad. I said, Ross, great. Called your mom. You know, I think filling someone's bucket up, making them feel good about themselves and stuff, that's really, really important. Because in today's society, Pete, in baseball, it's a failure game. And guys that dwell on failure and have a difficult time, you know, I lost games and I had to learn in my career, you know what, you got to get over that, man, because my first year was really tough and I had to get over it. And losing is part of it. Failure is part of the game. But you got to be able to come back and respond from that. And that's life, Pete. That's why this game is so good, because this game is about life. Both these guys here are going to have families someday, going to go through a tough time, maybe with their wife, maybe financially. But I think baseball really helps players toughen up. It helped me so much as a person. My wife donated a kidney. She almost died. That, I was a coach, helped me as a person. And I want to convey that to the players. I'm always there for them. Connor can call me. I don't care. Anyone call me. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm there. I'm getting my car. I'm coming. I got to drive to Ohio State. I'll be there. So.
Can you fill their bucket too much sometimes? I mean, there are players where, you know, now they're expecting it all the time. And, you know, is that possible?
I think it probably is. You know, I think you want to be, I think to not do it too much, you got to be sincere about what you say. That's really important. Because if players don't believe you're sincere and you're honest, I think they're not in. I mean, they're not going to be all in. And if a guy's going to be all in, that means he's going to give you his best all the time. And when you lose, you should feel bad. I mean, you know, I know I'm an old school guy. I feel bad when I lose. I can get over it in a little bit. Let's move on to the next day. Let's keep going. But it shouldn't matter to you. It should matter to you that, you know, now in pros, it's a little different. But in college, you know what? We should have won that game. Should feel a little bit bad. Now you got to recover next day. It's another day. We got another ball game. Let's go.
And, you know, players are going to get down. But a lot of times, you know, the players are a little hesitant to always go to the head coach. How did you handle that? Because everybody's different. Some guys are up. Some guys are down. You don't know what happened at home. You know, so how did you get that out of them or figure it out? Because sometimes they don't want to go to the head coach, or maybe they did because of the way you handle things.
You know what? It's happened here. I saw Coach Hogan take a couple kids the other day, and I got on him a little bit more, and he took it. Same way with Coach Guzman. These guys have done it. For us being together for just 3 days and 5 days total, it's unbelievable how well we get along together. We walked the guy the other day in a breaking ball, and I thought, so what? I'm not going to question Coach Guzman. He's making that call for a certain reason. I don't know what's happened there. Or, you know, Coach Hogan talking to the guys about, let's do a better job holding around. Let's communicate a little bit more, you know? That's important. Coaches working together. You know, I don't want to, you know, I was talking the other day in the dugout. Coach Hogan went. We had about a 4 or 5 running. He went coach third base. I go, stay there. You know the sign. Go ahead and do that, you know? Your coaches got to know you're with them, man. It's not, this is not the Jim Hall show. This is Team America with all of us working together.
Now, remember now, you were in high school, so it's a pretty long season. Starts in the winter in Illinois. You got practice. You got the season. Did players come to you, or did you have another system when they needed to talk about certain things?
I think players would go to my assistant coaches. They wouldn't go to my pitching coach, but went to my other. It was a lot of good cop, bad cop. But I was normally the, you know, it's just different when you're, when I became head coach, Pete, I'll never forget that day. And I'm walking in the ballpark, and everybody's like, there's Coach Hall. I was the same coach. I just put a title in front of my name. Versus coach, I went to head coach. So it was like crazy. So, I mean, you know, a lot of kids, parents didn't want to speak with me. I always had an open door pot. Come and talk to me anytime about whatever you can, and I'll sit down and tell you and be dead honest with you, you know. I had a kid come out. I said, I'm going to use your bullpen catcher. I go, you want to do that? And he goes, I'll do it. And I go, great. And he says, okay. And we won a state champ. He's a bullpen catcher, gets state championship ring and everything. So it was great for him. So I like to be honest with, totally honest with players.
All right, so now, all this winning, you know, obviously there was a, it's a major impact in winning. But all the winning you did, what type of motivation did you use daily to keep the guys going? You know, because again, it could be a long season for some of these kids. You know, is there anything you could tell our coaches and parents out there, or players, especially our coaches, our young coaches, how do you keep them going day in and day out so they don't get down or they don't get too up or maybe they don't get too high either? Is there things you did to keep these guys really pumped?
I can remember us would play, we'd play a real emotional game on Friday night with Joliet Catholic, and we played Joliet Catholic on Friday night. And it was really difficult because we won that game and lose that game, and we had to drive to Naperville Central the next day. So I got on a bus and got guys fired up about playing Naperville Central. They had a little bit more money than our guys, and they kind of looked down. I already have to get our guys up, and it's hard in baseball. Football, you play once a week, that's easy. But hard in baseball, you're playing four or five games in a week. I was a motivator. I felt, guys, let's go, let's play. I'm unhappy, we're out, let's pick it up. Because guys focus on, I'm tired, it's going to be tough. At the end of our week here, Pete, guys are going to be dead tired. We can't think about we're tired. We got to finish strong and finish as hard as we can and play well. So it's, you got to do a lot of mental work with kids today. You got to, you know, when you're going to pick a team, is this kid's going to be with me? And one thing that working out with weights and doing all this thing, that tells you about a kid. I had a lot of kids say, I don't want to do all this stuff. I go, you know what? Then I don't think it's better. You should be with us. And I knew if a kid's going to do his 10th squat set, he's in it for the duration with us. He's going to be there. And I had kids who were talented. Kids, though, you know what? You're not going to be with us. We talked about that pitcher from USA Baseball, didn't make the team. He was the best pitcher, but he wasn't the best team pitcher for us.
You know, and I've seen you because I've been on a lot of trips. I've seen you coaching. I didn't see as much in high school, but I've seen you in internationally. You're the type of coach that gets involved during the game a lot. Now, I understand here in Cuba, you know, the players don't play together, so there's got to be more of that communication. But I'm assuming you did that with your high school team. If you communicated so much on every pitch, on every, you know, defensive move, constantly telling people what to do, what's the benefit of that, and can you go too far with that?
Probably. I'm probably on that. On the end of that, and I know you and I have talked this about before. You really believe, Pete, and I understand it, the guys should know where to be. They should know what to do. I think probably I do go overboard a lot of times with that, but that's kind of my MO. What I've tried to do in this trip is step back a little bit and let Chris and the other coaches do there. Just kind of sit back a little bit more. I still want to keep the motivation with the players, let them know. I don't want you sitting down. You can stand for, we played 7 innings. You can stand and be involved in the game because what I see, and I go to a lot of dugouts, Pete, see a lot of guys not in the ballgame, you know. And you might want to address that with Connor and Zach. You know, I went to a lot of ball games in Florida, and I saw guys' teams that weren't in the game. They weren't learning. The most education, I believe, takes place in a dugout. And our guys are throwing information out to them all the time about what's going on, what's the situation. That's learning the game. So when they leave the game that day, what did they? If they picked up one thing, that they're that much better that they played and that they picked up something about the game.
And I bring that up because I know there's a lot of factors coming into this. You know, and I want our young coaches around the world and in the U.S. to kind of figure out where they're going to be at, because, you know, if they've got 12-year-olds and they're coaching them constantly, obviously they need it. You know, you got older guys, they might need it. How do you balance that? Because, you know, how do you know when too much is too much and too little is too little? Because even I could have done too little, and maybe I needed to do more. And this is what's great about the show, is because we want to get those philosophies out there. Because I'm assuming you got to know that your players obviously really well. So, you know, you may do that more with more players you know, others that are maybe that it's going real well and you don't do it as much. But, you know, what do you say out there to the coaches out there? How do you start? You, as a young coach, do you just start coaching them in games continuously and then see how things go?
I think, first of all, a coach has to go get his philosophy set. What is his philosophy of the game of baseball? What is his life philosophy? What is his hitting philosophy? What is his defensive? What is his pitching philosophy? Okay, and I talked to my guys about that, what our philosophy was. And then from there, as you get your philosophy, now you instill your philosophy to the coaches. I send them information out, and now they're, you know, Chris's philosophy and my philosophy could be different about something, but we're still working together. I'm not stepping on his toes. Not stepping on my toes. Johnny Guzzo, some of his philosophy of pitching are a little different than mine. But Johnny's here right now. We're using those. Coach Ryan, you know, he played at Joliet Junior College for Wayne King. Great, successful coach. He's trying to tell our guys, hey, you know what? You guys got to do a better job of getting ready and stuff. And sometimes guys are receptive to that, you know. And I think it's really important to convey the message to your team. Players aren't always going to be receptive to some of the things you say. But here's what I want you to do. You played 110%. You're in a dugout, you're helping us, and you're doing the right thing all the time. Because I still think the bigger picture, Pete, is what these players are going to do. This is going to be a great experience for these guys to take back to themselves, to their team. It's going to be life experience they could tell their kids someday what they did.
And obviously, you know, you've been successful. I mean, the stats show it. You know, state title, 13 regionals. You know, you're one of the most respected coaches in the country. I know it's not all about stats only as a coach. How about that player? How did you decide? Did you ever have this situation? You saw something a third baseman was doing, right? Whatever it may have been, and you got on him about it, right? And then he did something else later, and you got him again. How did you decide, am I getting on him too much? And is that causing him to be too nervous? Or should I back off? That's got to be a tough call. And, I, you know, you make the right calls because you've been winning. So I want to give that advice. I want to see how you did it to our coaches out in the audience, because I think that's an important thing. You know, how do I deal? I've seen Cuban coaches in the World Cup and the World Baseball Classic get on their guys too much. Next, you know, they got to make two errors.
Right, right. I think that's you got to have a feel for the game in that situation. What type of feel? If I said something to him, that might be enough. I remember for my All-State, my team that won the state championship, had a kid named Eric Sternberg at 10 RBIs in a day, and he just kept. He was popping out and stuff, and I said, Eric, I go, you know what? It's just getting really tiring for me to see this. And that's all I said to him. And he felt so bad. He went home and worked, because I told him a couple days you need to work, and he had to go here, he had to go there. He went home and worked and had a phenomenal tournament. And I go, that goes both ways, Pete. You know what? And you know what? If you take a guy and you beat him up so bad, you got to be willing to pull him back and say, you know what? I lost a team before, and I had to take him in the back of my shed and say, guys, I have done a bad job as your coach, and give me a chance. I'll start all over again. Let's renew this. And we went on and won 10 out of 11 games and got beat by a team. Providence went downstate. So I think we're human. We're going to make mistakes. And you know what? You can't be afraid to go to a kid and say, you know what? Hey, man, I'm sorry. I got in your grill and stuff. And, hey, let's work together on this.
You know, and I bring that up because I've been with you for over 15 years. And I've seen you do that. And that's what's amazing. That's why I wanted to get it out of you, because, you know, you're tough on guys. But, man, you also hug them. I've seen you buy ice cream, you know, I've seen you sit down and talk to them about stuff. And every player that I've talked to, I've never had a player say, I don't like playing for Coach Hall because he yelled at me. Because you don't just yell at guys and get on them because you know you want them to be better. You also take them to the side and explain to them as a man, you know, what they need to do. And I think that's important for coaches to understand, because I've played for coaches that have never done that. They just yelled all the time when you made mistakes, and they never told you what you did well when you did something well. Let's take the opposite perspective now. Let's go back to Zach and Connor. And we're almost at the end of the show here. I wish we could do more. We may even do a second show, depending on how things go down here. Let's take that perspective as far as the coaches. You know, what the tough love, what kind of coaches do you like from when it comes to that area, and why? Give us that, your player perspective.
Yeah, so one big thing that I like to see in a coach is they have to have confidence, the utmost confidence in all of their players. And once they show that they have that confidence in your players are more likely to accept that tough love. If you see that your coach doesn't have confidence in you or some of his other players, once he starts getting on guys, you think he might start just getting on guys, you know, just to get on them, not in a teaching or coaching manner. But when you know that he has the utmost confidence in you as a player and he gets on you, you know it's for the best. And that's when you can really feel good about yourself, knowing that someone's looking after you, trying to make you a better person as well as a better player.
Zach, they get on, they, you know, you make a mistake, whatever it might be, mostly mentally, make a mistake, guy gets on you when he comes in a dugout. How do you react to something like that?
I mean, for everyone, pretty much, when somebody gets on you, your first reaction isn't to like it. But if you sit down, like if I come in, I make a mental mistake, I make an error, I didn't run the ball out all the way, whatever it was. I mean, you come in the dugout and your coach gets on you, and you sit down and realize what you did. I mean, you know your coach brought you in for a reason in college. He has the confidence in you. Like Connor said, your coach brought you in for a reason. He saw you play. He just knows that you have more to give. I mean, it's a nine-inning game for 3 hours, but how long are you actually focused for that 3 hours? He knows you lost focus for that 30 seconds or whatever it was, so just listen to what he has to say. It's obviously something good.
All right, last question for our guys, our two players, and then we're going to finish the show in a minute here. Here's the last question, and these guys didn't know any questions we're going to ask. They kind of knew the topic, but they didn't know the questions. All right, now you're done playing, and you're going to coach. And you become a head coach. Pick one thing that, as a head coach, you would emphasize more than anything right away with all your players. Now, there'll be other things philosophy-wise, but one thing that you want to make sure that gets done, and that's your top priority, what would that be, Zach?
Hustle, 100% hustle. I mean, run on and off the field as hard as you can. That's a big thing for me. I mean, even as a player, you see, I had a coach come up to me one time and say, I just love the way you ran on the field. That was huge for me. Somebody actually noticed the little part of the game. You can only control so many things in the game, effort and attitude. Why not run on the field every time?
What are you going to do if your player doesn't hustle?
Probably get on him. Give him if it's first time, give him an example of how it helped me out going somewhere in school because I hustled on and off the field. Maybe second time, I might have to get on him a little more, yell at him, probably something like that.
All right. Let's, Connor, how about you?
It kind of goes along with hustle a little bit, but definitely focus. You know, when you're on the field, when you're practicing, you should be devoting 100% of your time to baseball. Your focus should be on what you're doing because it's just going to make you a better player 100%. So focus is definitely one of the biggest things I would want to instill in my players right off the bat.
Fantastic. Zach and Connor, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Pete. I just want to thank Coach All and Pete for the opportunity to come here in Cuba and play baseball against Cubans.
Connor?
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Couldn't thank you guys enough. This experience has been awesome so far. We have so much more to accomplish here.
I haven't seen Connor in a long time, and it's great to see young guys, you know, grow up to be men. I think Coach Hall has obviously had a great influence. And now we're going to finish the show. I want to bring in Coach Hogan. You know, he's been on the trip so far for 3 days. He's handling the defense, right? Defense, infield. I want to get your perspective a little bit about what you've, because you haven't been on one of our trips before, but I want to get your perspective, what you think. I know it's only 3 days, but what kind of the overall, what it's been like so far.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been most impressive, like you said, is the cohesiveness of a team in a short period of time. And that's probably the selection. That's you and Jim bringing these kids together from all over the country, playing together, and already there, they've gelled. And it's not clicky. They've come together. They've also all worked with Coach Hall. Like you said, he's a tough coach. And I think every young coach would benefit from spending time in a bench with someone like Coach Hall in that sense, who does give the tough love. He has sent kids home. He has put kids on the bench on these trips, which are not cheap, but it's teaching them a life lesson. And those kids, I think every single one of them that got that tough love has come back and said they're a better person, a better player because of that. So these guys have come together. We've been down in both of our games. We've come back. We've had travel issues. It's a different country, different times, staying in, you know, different hotels. But yeah, we've come back in two games against these teams, and they've been great kids. So
absolutely. I mean, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, but also especially on the trip, because I've been watching you, and you're always in the game constantly. I think that's awesome. Coach Hall, we're going to finish it off with this. You know, with the trip or with anything as far as the game of baseball, we've got a lot of guys, a lot of coaches that love the game. When we put this team together or when we go on trips, a lot of coaches can't handle these type of trips because they're used to having to have to practice for, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before they can put a team together. What's neat about this experience is that it's not just the coaches that have to put the team together. It's the players that have to learn how to play together fast. Now, to me, I think that's a great, great experience because it's easy to play with a team that you've been with for, you know, 3 months because you get so much time to learn how to communicate with somebody. But to me, that's not a great learning. To me, the learning experience is I've got to learn right now. And if I don't start talking, things are going to go bad here because we've never practiced together. Now, you did have 2-3 practices before we started here. But give me the difference between the two. Coming here, no practice hardly or 2 practices, and the difference between that and the season itself where you got a lot of time.
I think Ryan Clavenna brought up a great point with our guys when he talked to them. He talked about, guys, we got to communicate, you know, on bunt defenses first. We got to communicate. And I think that kind of has resonated throughout our players. We got to communicate, you know, pitchers, catchers, infielders. We got to communicate as a team. And I think we've done a good job with that. I think when you're talking about coming here, I love the challenge, Pete, because you got to do it on the run. And, you know, sometimes kids, you know, they don't know me. I saw Trevor for the first time. We've been together for 3 days, you know, and he's like, you know, he had a tough day in the mound, and I just talked to him a little bit today. He said, hey, man, we'll maybe bring you back tomorrow. But getting across to him that, hey, you know what, you struggle. I understand you struggle. We didn't get on him at all. Just said, hey, we want to bring you back. So I think it's really important that young coaches understand you got to do your homework. You got to have yourself together. You got to know what you want to convey to players. And when you convey that to players, players got to understand. They may not always take it how you want it. And then you got to figure out, what do I need to do differently? Because I know a couple guys were not crazy beginning. I've talked to a couple of players, and I think they've gotten a little bit more at ease with me and stuff. Because I'm a firm guy during the game, you know. My other coaches do a great job of buffering that and stuff, you know. And you can't take your head. You know, you're the head coach, but we're just coaching together. But guys sometimes understand, oh, he's the head coach and stuff. So you got to make sure, I got to make sure that those players understand, you know what, we're in this together, and I want the best for you. And I think those kids are starting to understand a little bit more. Today, the fact we were able to go out, and I talked to a couple of kids on their own, we're walking around, and a couple little comments, kids understand me a little bit better.
And finally, and then we'll let you say something in general to our audience out there all over the world, which is coaches, players, and parents. You know, you see a lot of coaches nowadays at the young levels, but I see it in college also. And I understand at college level, you got to win. Let's go to the real young levels, the 10s, 11s, and 12s. I see a lot of coaches calling everything. You know, they got to call pitches. They got to call when you steal. You know, you got to pick off when they tell you to pick off. They're not allowed to play the game a little bit on their own. What do you think when you're younger, coaches ought to do out there? Maybe there's a balance.
I think the biggest thing, Pete, I see is young coaches, they want to get a team and put the team together. I don't think there's nearly as much teaching going on as there should be for the kids. Who cares if your team goes 50-0 in the summer? It's irrelevant. Did you teach those kids? Are they better outfielders? Do they understand? Are they better hitters? Do they understand the game? Do they watch the game? I watch the game, and I listen to Ron Coomer. I listen to Steve Stone, and I listen to the analysis, and those guys are extremely good. Pat Hughes, they're great. And I think young coaches need to teach the game. They worry more about winning a tournament. Who cares? You know what? I want to win down here. But if we lose and we play good, I'm happy, you know? And I want to convey that to those players. Let's play hard. I never told them, let's win. I said, let's play hard. We play hard, 110%. You help us on the bench. Do the right thing. I think things happen from that.
Fantastic. And let's finish it real quick. Any one thing that you want to tell our coaches out there, some advice that, you know, just can really help them a lot, something we missed, shout it out.
I just think young coaches need to learn as much as they can. You know, you've had the benefit, Pete, of going around the world, you know. I've seen the stuff you've done, and people just think you travel. You are an extremely knowledgeable baseball guy, and I've learned a lot. I love when you send me notes and said, what about this, what about this? It makes me a better coach. No one's going to offend me by saying anything like that. So I think young coaches really need to study the game. They got to get online. They got to go to clinics. They got to do the best they can and learn the whole game, Pete. Some guys are pitching guys. My weakness has always been pitching, so I listen to Coach Guzzo. I want to learn the game to be able to convey it if Coach Guzzo wasn't there, in terms of maybe calling a pitch or what the situation, or watching someone with his mechanics, you know. To me, learn the game. Learn the infield pivots. Learn outfields, angles to the ball. Learn catching techniques. You know, learn the game as best you can and then convey it to the players, because the teaching aspect is not good right now out there, Pete.
And you know what? That's what I love about Coach Hall. He's been in the game so long, and every time I watch him, he's at every session at the American Baseball Coaches Association, Coaches Clinic. Anybody he meets, the only thing I hear from Coach Hall is him asking questions to other coaches, you know, where, you know, he's not the one telling them everything. He's asking questions constantly. Now, if a guy that's been so successful in baseball that long can ask questions, then coaches out there, you can learn, and you need to go out there and ask as many questions as possible and learn as many from as many people as possible. I think that's one of the traits that makes you a great coach, from my observation. And I want to thank Zach Speaker from Heartland Community College, one of our players here. Also, Connor Hogan, played at Webster University and also Ohio State. We are finally coming to the end of the show. We wish we could do more. We've taken it a little bit further than we wanted to, but we know you're going to love the show. So make sure that you listen to the show and do us a favor out there. Go to Twitter at Baseball Out, at Baseball Out. When you go to Twitter, you're going to see a lot of tips that we send constantly from all the things that we've learned from coaches around the world. Go to our website, Baseball Outside the Box. You can get all our videos on there. You can get information on baseball. You'll learn more about Coach Hall on the website. So do us a favor. Continue to listen to the show. Get more people to listen to the show, because it's going to help. And remember, it helps coaches, players, and parents. And finally, coaches, you have to continuously educate yourself. That's the key to great coaching. And the better coaching we have, the better players we're going to have. I want to thank you all around the world for listening to your show from Cuba. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. See you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.